Part 6. The Crown. The king had taken the princess's bait, hook, line, and sinker. He agreed to test the limits of his new jester with a command performance. Cola, the princess, the king, and myself stood on the bridge of His Majesty's royal ship. This time, at the princess's suggestion, we sailed where the waters of the Strait of Messina were deepest. Esteemed guests of the royal court were gathering to the deck in anticipation of the spectacle the king had promised.
Cola the fish, I must say I am surprised that you are so eager to return after such difficulty, but I am a generous king. At my daughter's request, I will allow you to test your mettle and prove your worth yet again. We shall see if you don't choke this time. Let's raise the stakes, shall we? Sweeten the drama with something more valuable, perhaps?
The king glanced to his daughter, to Cola, and once more to his followers. He delicately removed his crown as to preserve his finely styled hair.
Cola Pesce, I command you to go and fetch my crown. Cola Pesce, return my crown from the bottom of the sea before nightfall, and I will reward you handsomely. Perhaps my daughter's hand in marriage?
What?
Padre!
Oh, do be serious. I would never give my daughter to a commoner like you. Retrieving the crown jewels for the glory of the kingdom is an honor unto itself. Now then, without further ado, to the bottom with you.
The king gestured to the sea with an upturned palm. With a running leap, Cola plunged after the royal heirloom. Something else stirred within the sea, buried deep in a dark corner of the ocean. There lurked a prisoner. She caressed her loathsome pets, the sirens, tenderly.
Bebe, it won't be much longer now. What's this? I sense something astray and so far from home. Go, my children. You must be hungry. Go, feast. Feast on his last breaths.
The sirens had been released. Cola felt the freedom of the sea wash over him as it always had. With his usual uncanny timing, Lumiuni flashed to his side, and the two friends swam to the depths together. Cola had never been this deep before, and it grew darker and quieter with every passing moment. The brilliant yellow of Lumiuni led the way into the eerie stillness, like a torch. A few fish twinkled in the distance like starlight against the darkness. Somewhere out of sight, a lonely squid watched Cola with curiosity as he and Lumiuni swam ever downward in search of the crown's resting place. They were alone, or so they thought. The singing shadows slithered just out of sight. There were at least two of them, and they circled unseen against the gloom of the deep. Cola knew in his heart that these creatures meant him harm, but he was powerless against their enchantment. Lumiuni pulled Cola's hair, desperate to save his friend from a terrible fate. But it was no use. The sirens seized Kola with their clawed hands and ravenously sucked the breath from his lungs, sucking the life out of him. But then, surging to Kola's aid with the speed of a lightning bolt, crashed a man wearing a cloak of seaweed. With a wave of his trident, the sirens were tossed back to whence they came. Kola drifted lifelessly on the current. The stranger placed his hands on Kola's face and drew the water from his lungs with a simple spell. He crowned Kola with a bubble that enveloped his head like a fishbowl. Air filled Kola's lungs once again. He was alive, but still too weak to move. His mysterious savior whistled, and dashing from the deep came a great seahorse that lifted Kola onto its back and ferried him away into the blue. The seahorse left Nicola before a magnificent doorway at the bottom of the sea. It was chiseled with the faces of 1,000 different sea creatures. The unmistakable golden glint of Lumiuni was there, waiting for him.
Nicola! Hello, my friend.
Lumiuni?
That was a close one, huh?
Yeah, you're telling me. Whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. You're talking. Lumi, you're talking. And I'm talking. I'm talking to a fish.
I like to think that you're just listening more closely.
This is a dream. I'm at home. I'm in bed.
What, you want me to pinch you or something?
I've lost my mind. Or I'm dead. Am I dead?
Will you relax and just breathe for a second? Hush.
You're right. Okay. I'm breathing underwater. Oh, my... Donna!
Yeah, boy, you said it.
I'm sorry, I'm just surprised is all.
Honestly, you seem to be taking it all pretty well.
How is this possible? Did you do this?
The bubble helmet? Nah, you earned that. It's quite an honor, actually.
I don't understand.
This place grants all who venture here with the power to speak with those who live in the ocean.
What is this place?
This is my home, and you are most welcome here.
Your home?
Are you prepared for what awaits inside, Kola?
What awaits inside?
The King of the Sea.
The King of the Sea?
He wishes to speak with you.
The King of the Sea wishes to speak with me?
Is there an echo in here? Yes.
Well then, will you keep me company?
Of course.
Then I guess I have all I need.
Lumiuni began to sing in a briny and ancient dialect. The gate answered. The stone faces of the 1,000 sea creatures bloomed into a chorus of the same language. Somehow the words were sensible to Kola's ears, and he joined them in song. And the door opened onto a kingdom of fish. Kola blinked at the sight and stepped through the enormous threshold. Somehow he could walk on the seafloor as you and I would on land. He squished the sand between his toes and looked to Lumiuni, who extended a fin in welcome. Kola walked up a causeway lined with swordfish knights. They stood at attention with their spear-like noses pointed upwards. Behind them were a multitude of sea creatures, whispering excitedly amongst themselves. There might have been millions of them. At the end of this grand hall stood the man who saved Nicola's life. Neptune was not frightening, even though he was a titan of a man. He had a gentleness that commanded respect. Kola stood rigid, trying to decipher the customary response, when Neptune bowed his head reverently.
Welcome, Kola Peshe. We have been waiting for this day for some time.
I have to admit, I don't know what to say.
Then I will speak. You, dear boy, have my deepest gratitude.
For what? From what I'm told, I should be thanking you.
Look around you. How many countless lives have you saved? They have so many stories to tell. His, however, was the first. Any companion of Lumiuni's is a friend of mine. He is quite devoted to you. In fact, he insisted that he be the one to put you to the test.
The test? What test?
I give you your sea monster.
Sea monster? That was you?
In my defense, I did it out of love. I says to Neptune, I says, if anyone's gonna manja my pal, it's gonna be me.
How sweet.
Hey, if it's any consolation, you taste terrible.
I admit, it was a dangerous ruse and perhaps a bit unkind, but you more than proved your courage, did you not?
Courage? I don't know about that.
I do. Through the strength of your heart and your will to help those in need, you have shown time and again that you are a friend, not only to Lumiuni, but to all. That is why you are here. I may be their king, but you are their great protector. You are Kola Peshe.
It's just a nickname.
Is that so?
Yeah, I was just trying to help.
You love the sea, don't you, Nicola?
It's where I feel free. It's like coming home.
Yes. Home. There is something you must see, Kola Peshe. Will you come with me?
Kola followed Neptune into the innermost chambers of the undersea palace. The sanctum was dark and enshrined with lanterns that housed the glow of deep-sea fish. The shepherd of the sea crouched at the edge of a dark pool of liquid and lifted a crystal ball from its depths. Kola crouched by his side, mesmerized by the glowing orb.
Listen well, Nicola. Long have I been the shepherd of the sea and the shield of Messina. Beneath this island lie three columns. Proud, strong. For an eternity, they have held Sicily between sea and sky. Many years ago, there lived a young enchantress named Morgan Le Fay. She was the benevolent healer in King Arthur's court. Feared for her magical talents, she was exiled from the company of her beloved king, and her father lost his life.
Morgan, run!
No, please! I beg of you! No! Please! Father!
At the command of her fearful king, a powerful wizard sealed her beneath the Strait of Messina. She is shackled to the pillars beneath the island like bars to a cage. Over time, her captivity twisted her into the hateful Fata Morgana, conjurer of illusions and summoner of sirens. She learned to control sea fire and is weakening Merlin's spell even as we speak. She seeks to destroy the column beneath Cabo Peloro and free herself from her cage. It is through her fury that Etna rages, the sea burns, and your homeland suffers. If this sorceress has her will, if she destroys the column, the island will fall into the sea, and your people will perish with it.
It's a sad story, but I don't understand. What does this have to do with me?
You must warn your people. Lead them away from Messina before she destroys the city.
And what about you? You're supposed to be some all-powerful king of the sea, right? So what? You're just going to stand by and let this happen? Let all these people die the same way you let my father die? Where were you when the tidal wave destroyed Messina, O mighty Neptune?
I grieved for your father. I truly did. He was the finest Rais I ever saw.
Then why didn't you save his life? Why didn't you save anyone?
I am forbidden to intervene with the threads of fate. That power lies with mortals only. Such is their privilege and their burden.
Is there no other way?
I am sorry, Nicola. I cannot stop her. Not now. The column hangs by a thread, and her freedom is near at hand. Oh, Messina, Messina, undi tu sarai meschina. I have a gift for you, Nicola. But know this, a gift such as this comes at no small cost.
What is it?
The sea.
And the cost?
The chance to save your home.
So you do know how to save Messina?
I do.
Then I have no choice.
No, Cola. You always have a choice.
Then I accept.
The King of the Sea closed his fingers around Nicola's toes. And when he opened them again, Cola's feet were webbed like a frog's. Webbing sprouted between Cola's fingers like flippers. Neptune sculpted gills on Cola's neck like clay beneath his fingertips, and popped the bubble around his head. Nicola's chest heaved as he took his first breath of water.
Mama is gonna kill me. Thank you, Neptune.
The honor is mine. Now you must go, Nicola, before it is too late.
This is too big. I'm just the son of a fisherman.
No, dear boy. You are Cola Pesce.
Cola felt the weight of the world in his webbed hands as he turned to leave.
One more thing.
Cola looked back at Neptune, who had somehow produced Messina's crown. Cola had quite forgotten that this is what he was looking for in the first place. The King of the Sea tossed it to him. In the instant Cola caught it, the Shepherd of the Sea vanished. But as the young man turned to go, he felt a large, reassuring hand on his shoulder.
Troppo acqua ti fa diventare un pesce.
Propelled by the terrific speed of Neptune's gifts, Cola rocketed to the surface. He breached the waves to a tremendous height, and with the speed of a sailfish, he hurtled westward across the sea, back to Castle Rufo Rufo.